reading today comes from the 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8 of the New Revised Standard Version.
The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully.
Each of you must have made up your mind, not reluctantly or compulsion, for God loves and a cheerful giver.
And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work.
God bless the reading and hearing of the scripture.
Thanks be to God.
Be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 45 through chapter 21, verse 4. As I read, listen for the word of God. In the hearing of all the people, he said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." May God bless the hearing. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the scriptures. Thanks be to God. So today we are in our third week of our sermon series on all of the above, your gifts. So this is not spiritual gifts, that will be next week. This is actual money. In the Bible, Jesus talks more about money than he does anything else. I think he knew that as human beings, this is the one thing that you and I struggle with the most, is what we do with money, how we deal with money, how we live with money, how we struggle with money. And it's the last thing that we want to hear about is money. So we're talking about money today. I want to think about two different concepts as we struggle with this idea of gifts this morning. This idea of the ethic of scarcity as opposed to the understanding of the ethic of abundance. Scarcity. I have worked hard all of my life. I have studied. I have worked. I have worked hard all of my life, and I have done it myself. And I have worked, 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 and I have earned it. And it's mine. And all I have is mine. And I want to keep it for myself, because it's mine. And if I give it to someone else, then it's not mine anymore. And if I give it to someone else, what if I need it again? And what if I run out of what I have if I give it to someone else? Because if I give it to someone else, I might not have it anymore. I can't give to anybody else because I might not have enough after I give it to someone else. So I'm going to squirrel away my chocolate so that no one else can have it. But the problem is, I've squirreled it away so well that when I find it, it's bad. Has that ever happened to you? It's a real shame, because chocolate is, after all, well, chocolate. Scarcity. I can't give anything. I can't share anything. Because if I share what I have, then I will run out of what I have. And after all, I've worked hard for what I have. And why should I share what I have with someone else? Because someone else, They should work hard for what they have anyway. They shouldn't need for me to share, because they should work hard for what they have. Scarcity. Stinginess, actually. On the other hand, abundant living. I too have worked hard for what I have. I've studied and I've worked. But you know, I didn't do it all by myself. I had people in my life who've cared for me and who have worked alongside of me, and I've had doors open for me along the way. And it's by the grace of God that I have gotten where I am now in my life. And I have done that through love and compassion, and my life is filled with joy, and I want to give back because others have given to me. I want to give what I have. I want to share what I have because others have been so gracious to me, and I want to give back in return. And I have had my eyes opened, and I see the need of my brothers and sisters around me. And when I have had a need, others have shared with me. So I want to share with those around me. Abundant living. And when I give, I get in return. When I share, man, the return is awesome. And you know what? I don't need everything I have in my life. And I'm going to risk sharing. Because when I share, man, it brings me joy. When we look at the text that I read from Luke's gospel, who are the Pharisees? Are they living in scarcity or are they living in abundant living? They're living in scarcity. Now, the text says they gave out of their abundance. But when we actually look at the word, they're giving out of their excess giving. They're not giving sacrificially like the widow was. They're looking at their budgets and they're saying, oh, we got all of this money, so we're going to look at our budget and we're going to say, oh, we're going to pay all of our bills and we're going to give what's left over to God. And we're going to give out of our excess. And because we're not going to suffer at all, and I want to make sure that all of my needs are met, and I'm going to make sure that I'm living well so that everybody can see that I'm living well. Because remember, they had long robes, and they were the talk of the town, and everybody knew who they were, and they wanted to make sure that everybody knew what they were giving as well. They were the top givers in their church. And they wanted to make sure that their name was on everything. You know, Gately was on the wall there. That's the Gately Fellowship Hall, by the way. My name is on nothing. No. I have a brick in Manhattan, Kansas at the zoo. Or does that have Wesley's name on it? It has Wesley's name on it. Dadgummit, I even missed out on that. We put our son's name on that brick. Oh. Yeah, excessive. They gave out of their excess, not sacrificially. The widow gave out of her need. She looked at what she had and said, I will give because I'm living in an abundant life, even though she really had nothing. She gave wholly, wholly dependent upon God and of God's grace and of God's love in her life, knowing that God would provide for her. What's more scary? Well, I think it's probably more scary to live abundantly instead of scarcely. Yeah, I know, I made up my own word. Living abundantly has more to life. Living abundantly is living in a joy-filled life, filled with joy and compassion and love, filled with family and friends and church, community and joy. If we're living in a scarcity-filled life, there is never, never enough of anything. So we never give of anything and we never receive anything because there's never enough of anything. And we complain about everything because there's never enough. I do believe that we can change our attitude when it comes from scarcity to abundance. And it happened to me. I was in high school, had a rough couple of years when I was in my youth. So I was in my youth group, and youth group was a really good thing for me. Went to the youth leader said one day that we were going down to North Little Rock, down by the river, to the food pantry. I said, really? You really need to go to the food pantry? And I kind of threw a little fit. I can do that every so often, you know. I can throw a really good fit. So I did. Because I was the president of the youth group, because nobody else wanted to do that. So I did it. So I threw a little bit of a fit. I lost. Which rarely happened, by the way, but I lost because it was hot in Arkansas. Now, you people, and I say this on purpose, complain when it gets humid here in Nebraska. But I'm here to tell you that on the river, on the Arkansas River in Arkansas, it is 99% humidity all summer long. Isn't it, Tristan? Yes, ma'am. He will say, yes, ma'am. And it is 100 degrees to 105 degrees every day. And it should as well just rain every day. It was hot as snot down there. And I said, really? Do we have to go down there? Because the food pantry was not air conditioned, and it was on the river, and it was hot, and it was humid. Really? Yes, we're going, and you're gonna be happy about it. I said, all right, I'm gonna be happy. So we get down there, we go, and I thought, oh, but they do have, there is grace today. There is. The thrift store where they do the clothing, I could go there because there is air conditioning. No, no. Bridget got stuck with the boys in the food pantry, and all the girls got to go into the thrift store. So here I am stuck with the boys. And of course, they were all awful. So here I am because I was the organized one. So here I am, and on the wall, it had all of the family of five, family of four, family of three, family of eight, and all of the things that you can do, all of the things that put in the bags, right, that you do in a food pantry. So this happened all afternoon. Toward the end of the day, it was bad. I was hot. I wanted to go home. I looked. I peered open the door, and this woman comes in with what felt like 15,000 children. She had seven, so family of eight. They came in, and the children were very quiet. The oldest one had the look on his face as if to say, I cannot believe I'm sitting here. So the whole day I had seen two packages of Oreos that were contraband, which meant, don't ever put these in a bag. I'm sitting there thinking, well then, why are they here? Well, they had been donated, but you couldn't put them in a bag. No cookies available for poor people, I guess. So I decided this family deserved these Oreo cookies. So I decided I'm gonna put these Oreo cookies in this bag. Because you know, the whole day I'd been thinking, I'm taking these Oreo cookies home with me. Because you know, I'm thinking scarcity here. I didn't have Oreo cookies at my house. So I opened up the door again, and Mom and I made contact. eye-to-eye contact. And I said, come here. So she came here. The social worker was busy doing something else, and the boys were off doing something else over here, so nobody knew what we were up to. And I said, I got Oreos in the bottom of this bag. We made eye contact again, and then the tears just rolled. And it was at that moment that I knew what sharing was about. I knew why I was there, why the youth leader just insisted that I go down to the food bank that day, because she knew what I needed to learn that day. And I learned what it meant to share. I learned, and I didn't know these words at the moment, but I was then put on the trajectory of going from scarcity to abundance in a real and moving way. And it started me on my journey to become who I am today because of that moment. And that moment of sharing of myself and knowing what that little thing did for that family at that moment and at that time. Did it change their lives? I don't know. But for that moment, it changed mine and it changed hers to know that at that moment, someone cared enough to break a little rule and to share something with them. We can change. We can understand that sharing is a part of who we are. God created us to be in community with one another, and we are called. We're made to share. We're made to care about one another deeply. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says, the point is this: share who you are. Care deeply about one another and give cheerfully, not under compulsion, not because you have to, but because you want to, because you are giving in response to God's love in your life. God doesn't want you to give because you have some sense of responsibility or duty. I mean, if you're going to give because you feel dutiful to the church, go right ahead. That's helpful. But don't keep doing that because you feel dutiful, because that's not the point of giving. The point of giving is giving in response to God's love in our lives. And once you start that giving and once you start that sharing, you really can't stop, because it opens up your heart in a way that it multiplies in your life. When we were in church in Topeka, Mary Louise was one of those women who impacts your life like no one else can. And the church was struggling financially for a little bit. And so she shared her giving story. She grew up in the Depression in downtown Topeka. And she shared that every week her father and her mother and her siblings would sit around the kitchen table, and they would look at the income that he brought home every week and decide what they would be giving to the church. And it was always the 10% tithe, and they would take it straight off the top. And every so often, Mary Louise would get kind of confused, and she'd say to her dad, but Dad, what about food this week? Or I need a new pair of shoes, or I need a new dress to wear to church. And her dad always said, we give to God first, and then God will provide the rest. And Mary Louise said, he always did provide. And she always used this phrase. She always said, my heavens, God always provided for my family. And always reminded me that it was what we needed, not what I wanted. Giving is a part of who we are as human beings. It's a part of our makeup. It's what God created us to be as humans. Being stingy and living in an ethic of scarcity is kind of a lonely life. Living in an ethic of abundance is a wonderful way to live because it opens up our minds and opens up our lives to church, to family, to community in a way that allows God to move and live and breathe in our lives. Because God has blessed us. Has God blessed you in your life? This is not a rhetorical question. Has God blessed you in your life? Yes. Give in response to God's many blessings. Has life been a struggle from time to time? Yes. But God is good, and God will continue to bless us, and God will continue to get us through any struggle in our life. And that is worth giving in response to God's love and God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's compassion, and God's love. God is good, and God is good all the time, and God is worth our response in giving. Amen.